Oh, the links didn't work. Oh, good morning, all. We will call the meeting to order, please. Councilor Neal, you're up on new business.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I've got a motion on single-use plastics, garbage pails at the MAC. Motion on Farewell Creek, possible motion on Farewell Creek, or Farewell Trail, and also a motion on a referral back to staff on the voters list.
Okay. Councilor Trail.
No new business.
Councilor Short.
No new business.
Councilor Anderson.
No new business.
Councilor Hooper.
Nothing, sir.
Yeah, I thought you had something from CLOCA.
Pardon me?
Was there nothing from CLOCA?
Oh, yeah, I have a motion. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Okay,
so many things.
CLOCA's new business.
Right, sorry.
Councilor Jones?
Nothing for me.
Okay, Councilor Hooper, Councilor Neal, do you have those motions written out? Okay, can we take a 10-minute break and get the motions written out, please? It is part of the procedural bylaw, and I think it is. Hang on for a second. We'll double-check, but I'm quite certain it is.
Just point of order. The procedural bylaw says that they're to be added at the start, but if you want to take 10 minutes while I write out a simple staff recommendation or a staff referral, that's fine, but it's not time well spent. So, so this is a new part that's being created.
Councilor Neal,
I've raised a point of order, Mr. Chair.
So what is your point of order?
My point of order is there's nothing in the procedural bylaw that says that code has to be written out prior to, but that's all.
Well, the clerk is taking a look to see if that's the case or not.
Through the chair, section 10.12.11 of the procedural bylaws that says, except as provided by two subsections before, all motions introduced at a council meeting shall be in writing and signed by the mover and seconder. Just looking for the, I think there's a corresponding one for committee.
Okay. Got a feeling Councillor Neal is going to be done writing them out by the time we're done finding the appropriate, which is perfect.
Okay, so section 10.12.2, notwithstanding the previous section, in a meeting of committee, unless otherwise provided for in this procedural bylaw, all motions introduced in accordance with subsections, two subsections, must be in writing if requested by the chair.
If requested by the chair?
Yeah.
Okay, you say that yours are simple, Councillor Neal? The motions?
Correct.
Okay, so my understanding was that part of the procedural bylaw, so I'm not going to request that. I would request, you know, I have council members, it makes it easier for staff, certainly to have them in advance, and you know how I feel about stuff being walked on. I think it's, let me finish. I think, you know, for the benefit of staff and for colleagues, if we can see this stuff in advance, that it's helpful as opposed to seeing it for the first time at the council meeting. All right.
I would like to address that later in the meeting, so under other business.
Fair enough. All righty. So, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda? Councillor Schwartz, seconded by Councillor Neal. Questions, comments? Call the question, all in support. Opposed? That is carried. Do we have any declarations of interest? Councillor Neal, are you on the grants?
Two matters. This be CSD-005-19, declaring on 19.06, I'm a member of that board, and 19.23, I'm a member of that board. Salina Hall Board and Autism Home-Based Durham, so an indirect interest.
All right. Councillor Jones. All right. Anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Mr. Chair, are we supposed to declare if we're representations on the boards of the various Hall boards?
I cannot give you advice on that. So if if someone thinks that they've got a conflict,
okay,
they should.
Then I'll declare on the Hampton Hall board then.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, any further declarations of interest? Councillor Schwartz.
I just paid up my membership to the Orno Crown Lands Trust.
Okay. Anything further? All right, seeing none. Councillor Hooper, you are up on announcements.
Hopefully I do the right thing. I'd just like to announce that I'd like to say thank you graciously from the BOMA BIA to the Operations Department for their assistance with the our most recent successful Maple Festival. And it's really appreciated the work that staff did in assisting with that, with the tables and et cetera, et cetera. Great day. And even though we didn't have the weather we were anticipating, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone. And it was a good opportunity for some of our newer businesses that perhaps are not members of the BIA. For example, Owasco was out here doing a demonstration with their trailers. It gave them an opportunity to connect with the with the residents, and they were very, very busy, and they appreciated the fact that they were invited to come. So that's one of the positives out of it. So I'd also like to say that on the Thursday, I guess it was, Councillor Zwart, the mayor, and myself paid a visit to a new business that's opening up, New Life Hearing Aid. And I have a little gift that someone from the Maple Leaf organization left me to give to Councillor Jones. It's probably the closest thing that you'll ever get in regards to a Stanley Cup, but it's a picture. Lo and behold, Mr. Bobby Baum, one of my idols, was at the opening, and so he signed a picture for you. So I'd just like to say thank you for that, too. And if you have any issues regarding hearing issues and things like that, we have a new business just opened up in a little plaza down the street. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jones.
No announcements, but thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And there's always next year. It's going to happen next year.
I love an optimist. Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I wanted to note the passing of a former Red Wing great, Red Kelly. He played on 4 Stanley Cup winning teams for Detroit until he got traded to Toronto, and then he won another 4. But anyway, but the members of the Leafs that last won the Stanley Cup are dwindling, so I just want to point that out. So anyway, thank you.
Councillor Trail.
No announcements.
Councillor Jord.
Okay, I'd like to announce that Tuesday is the last day that you can buy your butterflies from the Orno Town Hall for release at their Canada Day celebrations. And you can buy them at the hall on Tuesday evening. Tuesday night also at 7 p.m. in the Orno Town Hall is the Orno Economic Development Strategy Steering Committee meeting. We'll be discussing the draft plan. All stakeholders are invited to attend. And on Saturday, May 11, the Willow Ridge Bluegrass Band will be presenting a fundraising concert at Orno United Church. $10 are tickets at 7 to 9. You can get your tickets at the door.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, Chair. It's not really an announcement, but on Thursday, I had an opportunity to visit Cedar Crest Beach down there, and it was relatively calm and dry, and I want to thank the chief and his crew for the wonderful job they did down there, and the residents down there are very appreciative and grateful, and they were complimenting the chief and his crew for a job well done. And all the volunteers that took part in the venture, I noticed I drove by Clarendon Central, and I see hundreds of sandbags all prepared, and as a community, we came together well for them, and hopefully the worst has passed. Just wanted to say again, thank you, Chief, and thank you to all the fire service folks that and all the volunteers for a job well done.
Thank you, Councillor, and none of the gentlemen around the table mentioned this. You forget this at your own peril. Sunday is Mother's Day, guys. Don't forget. Okay, so I will share with you that the clerk just mentioned that the women might be interested as well, but truthfully,
they have
mothers as well, but we all know who will be in the most trouble. Just say it. Mr. Allison.
Thank you, Worship. I have a couple of new staff in the CAO's office that I'd like to introduce to members of council. The first would be Justin McLean. Wave, Justin, so people can see who you are. Okay, great. Justin is our new corporate policy analyst. He brings a diverse set of experiences in business, politics, academia, and public service. He holds an MBA from Queen's University and further certifications in corporate social responsibility. Professionally, he serves as a chief of staff to a very highly respected member of provincial parliament. I added that. That wasn't part of the bio that that Justin prepared. And is currently teaching the faculty of business at Trent University. We want to welcome him to our team here, and we're looking forward to working with Justin on a bunch of strategic initiatives. So welcome, Justin. Our second new employee in the CAO's office is Doran Hodge. Doran has joined us a couple weeks ago in the role of Climate Change Response Coordinator. He comes to us from the region of Durham, where he was working in the Climate Change office there. Doran is dedicated to using creativity to solve social and environmental problems. He has a deep understanding of climate adaptation and mitigation strategies. He's passionate about cultural exchange. He's studied and worked abroad in several different countries, Cuba, Chile, Argentina, different parts of Canada. He joined us, as I say, a couple weeks ago. We welcome to the team. He has a master's in global political economy and is currently a PhD candidate at the University of Guelph. So welcome, Doran.
Thank you, Mr. Allison. Can I have a motion on the minutes, please? Councillor Trail, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Questions, comments, errors, or omissions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Those are carried. Thank you. Thank you. Delegations now, to the best of my knowledge, Ms. Delicat, Mr. Krepps, Mr. Mitchell, and Ms. Witski are not joining us. There's an expectation that we will be tabling the correspondence or referring back the correspondence from CLOCA regarding the Port Darlington shoreline hazard study. That would leave us with Mr. Newman and Mr. Beethensall. Mr. Newman, how are you, sir? So if you push a button, I think that whole thing will actually raise up and would bring the mic.
Is
it a rocker switch? Whoa. Jeez, this is getting serious here. All righty. Well, good morning, Mayor Foster, members of council, staff of the municipality. I'm super excited to be here. One, obviously, not only to see this fancy new setup in front of me, but now I don't have to shout at you anymore like I have done for years, but to talk about the Newcastle Youth Center and bring everybody up to speed on the story so far, I guess, as we want to call it for today. So As most of you remember, just a few short months ago, we were over at Diane Hamry Rec Center celebrating the opening of Newcastle Youth Center, or better known to everyone who comes around there as NYC. It's been a great ride so far. I mean, we opened the doors a few shots from the grand opening back in December, and the uptake from the community and the youth has been absolutely amazing up to this point in time. And a big piece of that is because of the young people who come to the space and make it their own. And I wanted to share these two images in particular with you because they really resonated with myself and our other staff, just in terms of the shape and the characteristic and culture the space has already taken on, again, just in those few short months. So, I mean, these are really a testament to the fact that the young people who come really to all of our centers, but in this case NYC, have really started to define it by that safe, inclusive, and fun space that they can all call their own. And I think at the end of the day, that's probably the biggest success that I can share with you. We'll get into the numbers and all those sorts of things, but this is the really meaningful stuff in terms of you've got people walking through the door and they feel like, again, it's a space that they feel safe and that they can connect not only with their peers, but also with our staff as well, and staff of the facility for that matter too. So what we have learned, in addition to the fact that Newcastle youth are amazing, is that they're also super interested in creative expression. So NYC has very quickly transformed into a hub of creative expression, a safe space where young people from the local community are not only able to connect, but really pursue their passions and creative development. So you see some of their works of art that was once a really clean table, but I think it looks way cooler now. And my favorite picture here is actually the one in the left, bottom left corner. So some of you might recognize that as the old concession stand that used to be at the facility there. And it's now become a really pivotal piece of our programming, and is, I feel like the youth are all calling it the studio now because of all the amazing pieces of artwork that are up there and on the wall. And then just a little bit more kind of on that creativity flowing note. Again, a few of those pieces that, again, are floating around. If you stop by and pay us a visit, there's like a new piece, I feel like, up on the wall every single week. And these ones, again, are particularly meaningful. One, because it's a resonation and representation of some of the youth who are there, but also some of the qualities that we're hoping for in this space. And these are all, again, generated from the young people who are walking through the door. I mean, so we've got the create, the discover, and trust, I think, are three kind of foundational pieces to the model that we use as far as youth engagement in these spaces, and the fact that they're really connecting with these things again means a lot to us, and again I think speaks to the success of this particular space up to this point in time. Again, only what are we, 5 months in at this point in time? That's good. And then the logo. So as most of you are familiar from sitting around the table and me being up here one or two times before, a big piece of our approach with our young folks is that we're not a youth serving program, we're a youth engagement organization. In that sense, we're meeting these young people where they're at and we're connecting with them and trying to build capacity but also build investment in these spaces as well. And we thought this was a really cool way we were able to do that, specifically in Newcastle. And that was from the ground up, starting with having them create a logo and seeing what that could look like at the end of the day for us. So these are some of our live action shots of a few options along the way. Then here's our final product. So this one here probably combines about 10 different designs that they came up with along the way in consultation with probably 20 to 30 young people as well, which was really cool and challenging at the same time. They all thought different colors would be a little interesting. But yeah, again, it really speaks to, I guess, what I'm getting at with these things is the fact that it speaks to the importance of having them engaged along the way. And this is, again, one of those kind of cornerstones to what defines any of these spaces, whether it be the Firehouse, the Loft, and now NYC as well. All right, so the super fun stuff now. the numbers. So as we can see from the chart here, I think we've had some pretty astounding success with respect to our numbers. So this chart represents, again, as you can see, the projected totals based on the targets we set at the kind of outset of the pilot project phase, and then our actual numbers up until the end of April. So again, from that, you can see that our projected number of visits are pretty close to double what we thought they would be at this point in time. The number of actual youth who have walked through the door, again, is more than double. Average weekly visits are very strong and very, very comparable across the board with the other locations. And I think the piece about this, though, that really speaks to the uniqueness of this Newcastle location is how quickly programming has got off the ground. The young people have just been eating it up at every opportunity they've had. We've had over 250 hours, and this is structured programming time. So this doesn't include the drop-in stuff that kind of happens on a whim when someone expresses an interest in doing something particular. This is all the structured things that are put in place. So, I mean, these are the arts, the sports and recreation, and then really those social realm programs that we're putting into place throughout the course of the week. And, again, the uptake on that has been absolutely amazing up to this point in time. All right, this would also be, unfortunately, we put the invite out to a couple of schools, but they had a few conflicting things on the go as we get closer to the end of the school year. So we got a little video here from a group of students to share with you, because it would be a really bad youth presentation if they didn't have some presence in some capacity. Okay, so it's upside down. And there should be sound. I can try and narrate it as he's jumping out of the little trash can there, if we would like. If it doesn't want to cooperate, that's okay. I can happily send it over to all the members of council and anybody else who's interested in taking a look at it. It is a really funny and quirky and great testimonial, actually, at this point in time, in terms of just talking about what the perspective of the space has become from the young people. So I'll make sure I share that again, just because it didn't want to cooperate with us here today, which is totally a-okay, but we'll just leave you with his smiling face on this slide, and then we'll go to the next one. But yeah, again, I will share that with anyone who is interested in taking a look at them. It's been a really cool experience, I would say, with the schools, especially in Newcastle, because we don't have the sheer volume in terms of number of schools that we see that we're connecting with as we do in Curtis and Bowmanville. But we look at that as a really cool opportunity to have that much more of an amazing and kind of interconnected approach with things and really engaging the youth in a few different areas that we don't have the luxury of doing in all the other areas. So, what's next? Big plans. Really, it focuses in on a few key points. So, and it's one, continuing to develop those partnerships with the schools. This is already ongoing with our summer program planning, and looking at opportunities, like I was saying, because we don't have the sheer number of schools, we've got a really great opportunity to connect in a greater capacity with the schools that we do have. So fostering kind of those collaborative partnerships, we've got a couple of art things that we're looking at on the go right now that kind of fall in line with a lot of that positive messaging you saw just earlier in the presentation. Keeping our finger on the pulse of what youth want in Newcastle, so making sure that they continue to stay the hub of what is informing our process and our programming. Because again, if they're not having their voice, then we're not doing our jobs on their end. So we're making that commitment to make sure that we keep pushing this forward. And then continuing to grow our youth-run programming. So this is a particularly big piece for us. For Newcastle in particular, we already have two youth programs that are run exclusively by young people off the ground. But we want to make sure that we're offering those opportunities for that to happen that much more. So overall, I guess in summary, it's been a really awesome ride in Newcastle so far, and defined by nothing but successes and awesome partnerships with, obviously, members of council and municipal staff. So I'll turn it over to you in case you have some questions.
Thank you, sir. Members of committee. Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Chris, for coming forward this morning with your presentation. Are you aware, I have to address this in the form of a question, are you aware of the fact that we're most appreciative of the fact that you've tied in St. Francis of Assisi into the youth center, because they were the ones that were sort of the movers and shakers of that So was there a lot of participation from that school as far as, because they had a lot of great, cool ideas that we're, you know, looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, by virtue of location where the school is, it was a very easy default for us to make sure that we were able to establish that that partnership kind of from the outset. So they've been a great resource in terms of being able to go in and connect with their students. But I mean, I would say at the same time, so has the Pines and Clark as well. So I mean, I think we've seen that collaboration right across the board, which has been really cool. But again, the students are the ones who are telling us what we need to put in the space and what we need to be doing in there, and they play a big part in that.
And are you aware that former Councillor Wu and former Councillor Partner were one of the movers and shakers? I think that was kind of left out of the celebrations when they announced that the center was going to be open. And I'd just like to say I hope that's recognized, that they were one of the main people that sort of got that going. And I'd just like to say thank you, a big, huge thank you to you, because I understand you are leaving us and you're going to someplace exotic.
Yep.
And I'd just like to say thank you very much for all that you've done for the youth in Clarington, and for what you've done for Firehouse Youth Center, and bringing the recognition forward in regards to the youth of Ontario. Thank you.
Awesome, thanks.
We've got Councillor Jones and then Councillor Anderson.
Thank you so much, Chris, for all that you have done for the youth in Clarington. It's absolutely amazing how quickly you got all this off the ground in a very short amount of time. I was looking at the survey, and is there anything missing that would make Newcastle Youth Center better? And I do have to appreciate the fact that they mentioned food so many times in there. Being the mother of two teenagers, it's crazy the amount of food that they eat. And if that's the only thing that's missing from the youth center, that they are hungry, that I think you're doing a pretty great job. My question, though, too, is are we attracting any kids from the north area of Clarington, like Orono and other, a little bit more rural areas into Newcastle Youth Center?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing not maybe the volume that we see of youth living directly in Newcastle or in closer proximity, but yeah, I mean, we are seeing kind of a cool uptake from some of those outer-lying communities where parents are maybe willing to pile a few youth in their van and one will coordinate like a drop-off and a pickup and things like that. And we're seeing that especially, I would say, on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays were open a little bit later, but then Saturdays, I mean, being open during the day, maybe there's just that little bit more flexibility. But yeah, we're seeing youth from, as we've seen, Kendall, Orno, Newtonville, some of the other hamlets and things like that. So yeah, it's been pretty cool to see that so far.
Well, that's great. That's really good to hear. And I'm like, are we keeping track of those types of numbers as well? Like in case there's an opportunity in the future, do we need to have like some kind of transportation to get them down into the southern part of Clarington, just to allow like all opportunities for all youth?
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the information we collect when a young person signs up with us, a component of that is definitely their postal code, so we are able to kind of extrapolate that to see in a little bit greater detail where everybody is coming from.
Great, thank you so much, and this is the first I heard that you're leaving, so this is, it will be a loss to us for sure, but thank you for all you've done.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for the wonderful work that you have done so far. I noticed that only 2% between the ages of 16 to 18, those would be the group I would think we would want to get off the street and get active in the youth center. I don't know what type of programming is there to attract that age group in. And second question, other than the schools which you alluded to, what other ways you go about promoting the youth center so kids become aware of it, and what you have to offer outside of that, the scope of the schools alone?
Sure, yeah. So, maybe in terms of the first question there, just as far as the age breakdown, for sure. I mean, it's always interesting. I think we saw the same thing when it came to the loft and things like that. It's usually a little bit more challenging to attract those, I'll say, more senior years of high school kind of at the early outset. So now we're in the process of doing a bit more targeted outreach directly to Clark and some of those more senior level students. We're opening up more opportunities to come out and do some volunteering hours in the center, and that's where kind of that youth-run programming piece comes into play. Sometimes it's also, I guess the best way to put it is grade, I'll say 7 to 9 students who are captured in that lower demographic there are a little bit easier to entice out, at least initially. And then we tend to see, at least what we've seen across the other two locations as well, is that then those more senior years start to populate in after the center's kind of settled out a little bit more. So I anticipate kind of over the next few months that we would see those numbers change a little bit. But it's also, we've always kind of approached it from the angle as well, is that it puts us in a really good position in terms of longevity down the road when we are able to capture kind of those senior elementary students as well as those kind of junior high school students to make sure that they're supported as well. And then I guess to part two of the question, we've started spending a lot more time at the Tim Hortons in Newcastle now because that's where a lot of these more senior youth are hanging out and things like that. So again, it's just being present in the schools, but then also in the community too. So taking the time to connect with them if they're walking downtown and those sorts of things, and really finding out where they're at outside of school, because quite often it's equally as good of a place for us to be able to connect them with, for sure.
Through the chair, thank you again. I don't know where you're moving to, but I trust you'll still be in the community. And are you moving away?
I was going to get to that at the end of the presentation, but yeah, so I mean, great question, and I was chatting with Councillor Hooper and Mayor Foster about this previously, that it's kind of bittersweet. I will be leaving, but I feel like on the programming side of things are in really great space for me to do that. I'll actually be pursuing a position with the territorial government of Yukon in social services, so yeah.
Sounds exciting, and as Councillor Hooper just said, it's nice and warm there.
Yes, warm and toasty all year round from what I hear.
All right, thank you again.
Do we have anything further? Chris, I don't see anything further. I don't have any questions for you, but it has been a pleasure since your time with the Firehouse Youth Center. There has been a significant change in the direction. The engagement, with the kids, and other facets of the community. We dropped a couple of new youth centers in your lap, sort of out of the blue. You've done a phenomenal job with that. So for your service to our youth, for your service to the community, I cannot thank you enough and tell you how phenomenal of a job you have done. Do you care to share more about where you're going and what you're doing and when you're going?
Yeah, so I've got, people still get to put up with me for at least a couple of more weeks. I don't start until the beginning of June. I'll be working directly in Whitehorse, and I'll be doing a lot more work with youth coming out of care. So we'll be dealing with the residential services kind of side of things once I get up there. So I'm super excited, for sure. It's definitely bittersweet. I mean, council, yourself, Mayor Foster, staff, I mean, it's been a really cool ride over the last, 7 years now, I guess. And, again, I feel like we're in a good space for me to be making this change, and we'll see how it goes. Who knows? It's only guaranteed for a couple of years at this point in time, so you might see me back in these neck of the woods in the not-too-distant future. You never know.
Well, I hope, and I'm sure everyone in the room today would agree, I hope we do have an opportunity to see you and not too far into the future. So again, thank you.
Awesome, thanks.
So our next delegate is Fred Biesenthal from PI Tool, and he's speaking to EGD-009-19. Mr. Biesenthal, thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee today. My name is Fred Biesenthal. I'm the president of PI Tool Limited. We're located at the corner of Progress Drive and Curtis Court. I speak this morning on behalf of the Progress Drive Curtis Court business community that includes AWC, Davy Truck, Ditech, RLM, and others, in support of a project that will be outlined later this morning for supply of local water and sewer services to the area. This business park was developed 41 years ago. PI Tool was the first building to move into the area. And my wife reminds me that during this period, she's paid over $1 million in taxes alone from PI Tool. Services such as natural gas, water, sewer, within 10 years were promised at that time. It took 19 years to get natural gas, and we're here today talking about sewer and water. Wells are the only source of water in the area. Clarington Fire has had to fight at least two fires at waste management without the benefit of hydrants. Septic tank systems are the only means of dealing with wastewater. They're problematic and not reliable at times. In 2018, $25 million worth of sewer and water line trunk lines were installed in the area. This construction brought a lot of challenges and brings a lot of benefits. These benefits cannot be realized, though, without local servicing. And these resources probably won't get utilized fully until at least two more stages of construction are done, until about 2022. During this period, four or five wells went dry. Currently, there are three businesses that want to move into the community. They are ready to build. They need the water and sewer services. Two existing businesses are ready to expand. They need the water and sewer services in order to proceed. Other owners recognize the value-added benefits of having reliable services. Members of the Curtis Court business community have met numerous times over the last year. It's been gratifying to see the neighborhood work together to come up with a viable plan. We met with the region, Clarington staff, and it's important to note our appreciation for the support of Ron Albright and colleagues at the municipality. We've had the support of Sheila Hall and Bonnie Reitman from the Clarington Board of Trade. We appreciate their assistance. They've listened to us, including EB. They believed in our efforts. They've supported us. The engineering and technical side of this project is relatively simple. The land is flat, the alignment is straight. We believe it can happen, this project. In fact, EB has funded a portion of the engineering already. However, the practical technical solution is to do all of Curtis Court, because in that funding that has been done, we focused only west of Progress Drive. This will be possible if you implement the plan that will be presented later in this meeting. Many of us deal with metal. We are familiar with the practical implementation of the expression, strike with the iron is hot. We believe in this project. The infrastructure is there, the need is there, and together with this plan, we have the resources to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Members of committee, do we have any questions? Councillor Anderson.
Yeah, I realize the dilemma and the problem that exists there. So you need sewage, water, internet, natural gas, and the jobs will come. How many jobs do you anticipate if you had all of those services, or if all of those services were in place? How many jobs, you just a guess, you think we would be able to achieve or
I don't have that information. I don't know if that's in the report. No. Sheila? It's in, Bonnie will address that issue.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, so we know, we realize that that's a necessity, and us at the region, we are really fighting for other areas as well to make sure that the infrastructure is in place for economic growth. So hopefully it comes sooner than later. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Beisel, for coming forward this morning. And I have to pose this in the form of a question. I'll be doing that a lot today, probably. But are you aware that we're most appreciative of the fact that you have hung in there, you and your company, and some of your colleagues, for such a long time for this to come to fruition? And I can go back to when the fellow from, my name escapes me right off the top of my head, World Records, he was involved in that back when I think it was Suzanne McCrimmon was a mover and shaker trying to get that sort of moving forward in regards to the sewage and water down there. So I wish you luck with it, and thank you for remaining within Clarington and creating the jobs that you have done. Thank you.
Righty. Do you have anything further? Yeah, so for members of the committee, if you look at the letter from the Board of Trade, it appears 85 to 90 jobs is the number of jobs with the water and sewer. Mr. Biesenthal, and I see Arthur is with you, and have a hard time with that thing in front of me here to comment on Councillor Hooper's, to emphasize Evie, Arthur, a number of the business owners have really stepped up. We've got to thank you for that. Evie does have a newspaper clipping talking about water sewer coming. Have you seen that, and do you recall what the date is by any chance?
I haven't seen that.
Okay, she shared that with me, and I...
That was, apparently it was 1978, the article was.
August of, so just a short time ago.
That's correct, yes.
So thank you. Thank you ever so much for joining us and for the work that you've done on this.
Thank you.
All right, so that takes us out of the delegation portion of the meeting. We're in the communications received for information. If I could have a motion on section 8, please. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. I was looking for a hand. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Hooper, thank you. Do we have any polls? Seeing none, I'll call a question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Item 9, communications for direction. The first is Municipality of Grey Highlands, and they're looking for some help on the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund. The suggestion from staff is that we endorse that. Councillor Neal.
I'm going to move to endorse, but I certainly have some questions.
Sure. Seconded by Councillor Jones. Thank you.
So, if I could, Mr. Chair, what is this, first of all? Because does it apply to Clarington? And I look at this particular township is getting what appears to be $1 million a year from the provincial government. So, my guess is that we don't get this type of money, and we're always too big for small municipalities and too small for large municipalities. So when it comes to this type of stuff, so.
Would be an excellent guess, and Mr. Pinn can help you out with that.
Through your worship, Councillor Neal, I think your last statement sums it up quite accurately. We are too big for this program, and we're not rural enough to meet their indicators. So we do not and have not received this money for a number of years. And based on some of the funding announcements over the last 2 months, it does appear that for the most part, we are no longer considered small. That does pose its own unique challenges when we come to budgeting, because we don't get some of the the funding, and this is the largest unrestricted operating grant that the province gives. So many of the more northern and rural municipalities do benefit from this. I believe Brock Township, it accounts, if they were to lose the UMP funding, it would be about a 12% increase in their taxes in 1 year. So it is a very significant part of more small municipalities.
So I mean, as much as I sympathize with anybody who has the revenue cut, I don't really see this applying to Clarington. In fact, I think if we're looking at recent government announcements, we should be paying more attention to what they just did with the library issues. So I'm going to withdraw that motion, Mr. Chair.
Give me a motion to receive, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Seconded by Councillor Jones. On the motion to receive, questions or comments? Yeah, Mr. Penn, I've just a really quick one. We're too big to be small and too small to be big. We really feel like we're in a no man's land. In terms of, you know, the 100,000 is sort of a magic number. When would you anticipate we're going to find ourselves out of no man's land? You know, we'll talk later.
Through your worship, several of the funding grants that we get are based on census information. So for the time being, we are still under 100,000, and will be probably until 2021. Where we get economies of scale of a larger municipality, that we'll take a little bit more research as to where that sweet spot is. You know, is it 110 or 120,000? That I can't comment on at the moment. But for at least for the next 3 to 4 years, we will still be getting some of the grant money that we get because we're under 100,000.
All right, thank you for that. On the motion to receive, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you, thank you. The next is 9.2. This is a GHD looking for a noise bylaw exemption. Councillor Neal, moving that. Seconded by Councillor Schwart. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Blackbird looking for a noise bylaw exemption as well. Councillor Schwart, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. 9.4 is the Township of Brock, and that is a request that we support their request for the province to review the Ontario Autism Program. Councillor Hooper? I'm sorry, didn't hear you. Seconded by Councillor Anderson. Mr. Allison, can you share? I know that you're deeply involved in one of the groups.
Certainly. Thank you, Worship. For the benefit of Council, a motion to support is entirely in order, but I just want to let you know what's happened. At the time that Brock Township passed their resolution, the province actually hadn't announced that they were going to consult. I just checked my records. That happened on April 2nd. They announced a couple of weeks prior to that they were going to extend the time frame within which the program changes were going to be implemented from 3 to 6 months. So when the Township's Council passed the resolution April 1st, there had not yet been a public announcement about consultation. There will be public consultation. I can send the link to members of Council, which isn't to say you shouldn't be endorsing or supporting the resolution. I don't know that it'll result in further delays or further consultation being set up. The provincial website suggests that they expect to have a revised policy position by the end of July, and it'll focus in the main on complex needs children within the OAP program as opposed to the program writ large, but certainly it would be appropriate to endorse or however you want to see fit.
All right. Anything on that? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. The next is Durham Region. This is the regional smoke-free bylaw, and I'm told that the appropriate motion would be to refer to staff on that one. Councillor Neal. Sure, let's get a seconder. Councillor Jones.
Okay, so if I could, through you, The instructions I would like to add is to, this is in referring to page 42, the bottom of page 42, and specifically the definition of public place, and to explain how a privately owned, like in whatever memo we get or report, explain how a privately owned area could be considered, quote, a public place. And also the legality of section 5.4, which states that a person has a duty to identify themselves when requested by an inspector. So in other words, without any reasonable and probable grounds or anything, or persons, they're, you know, one of our, I don't know who the inspectors would be, I guess whether they'd be Durham Regional or Clarington, but they could demand that somebody identify themselves on the sidewalk or something. I don't know. I didn't think that was legal, although it was stated at the region that it is, but I don't know. I have some concerns about that. So, but I wouldn't support that. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Trail.
I'll support the referral as well. Is there, there's no debate then on sending it back if it's just referring it back to staff?
No, you can, so in here we can discuss and debate referrals. Tabling we don't, but referrals,
okay.
Referrals we can.
Well, I'll support it, and especially with Councillor Neal's request. I also have some concerns. I know a lot of people who currently vape, and they've used that to quit smoking, so it's my understanding that vaping only produces water vapor. So I'm not quite understanding why that's being included in this, when it's my understanding that this is a method that a lot of people actually are using now to quit smoking. So, and that, you know, it's producing nothing but water vapor. Not sure exactly how this is something that we need to be regulating. So perhaps either staff can comment on that as well, or perhaps it's a case where there's simply no way of differentiating, and therefore we need to pass sort of an omnibus piece of legislation. But either way, I just want my concerns noted, and I do want to see staff get some input and advice to us on that, because I don't think we should be discouraging people from engaging in something that helps them ultimately quit smoking or, you know, doesn't produce anything harmful from a public policy perspective.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. I have some concerns too, exactly what Councillor Trail has spoken about. Who's going to be the inspectors? Is it going to be somebody from bylaws? Is it going to be somebody from the region? And in regards to some of the public events that we have, for example, concerts in the park, rib fests, who's going to be controlling and you know, those events? I mean, surely it's not going to be a municipal staff. It's going to be good on going down there saying, you know, so I have some concerns in regards to it too. Thank you.
All right. Anything further on that? Seeing none, call the question. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next is 9.6. This is, let me finish. So enthusiasm is good, right? This is the Clarington Public Library. Councillor Neal, you're moving that?
Well, I'll give you a motion to refer to consideration of the budget policy.
All right, do we have a seconder on that? Councillor Jones, questions or comments? Yep, so my preference would be to act as suggested. If you take a look at the $50,000 cap, I think an exemption for the library is in order. That $50,000 cap would take them, looking at the chart, would take them below, certainly in the last number of years, the level of inflation. You know, and you know, we talked a little bit earlier about Sol's. If we want to get books back and forth, we could in fact be seeing increased costs to the library because of downloading from the province. So I personally see no problems. Councillor Neal.
Motion for second time around.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Yeah, but I go last, so that's why it's appropriate. All in support of a second time around? Carried. Councillor Neal.
Well, my only concern, Mr. Chair, if approving it as on a standalone basis is that presupposes the budget policy is going to pass, that's all. So that's why I'm suggesting it be referred, and I don't necessarily have an issue with it, but I do have a lot of issues with the budget policy itself, which that's why I'm suggesting the proper thing to do would be to refer it at this point and then deal with it.
Okay. Anything further on that? And again, I'm gonna suggest, I think this is an easy thing to approve. the budget policy one way or the other. The library, Clarington Library already works with far less funding per capita than their neighboring colleagues. They do more with less, and this is potentially sending a signal that we expect them to do even more with even less. I'm not sure that it sends a particularly helpful signal. So I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Okay, and that motion fails. New motion, please. Okay, guys, I need a motion. Councillor Trail.
To approve?
I'm sorry?
To approve, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, do I have a seconder? Councillor Hooper, thank you. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
Well, I guess through you to the mover, are you moving that on the basis that you're going to agree with the budget policy, or? Because if we don't approve a preset tax increase, as suggested in the budget policy, then I'm not sure what we've done here, that's all. So, I mean, I don't have an issue with getting rid of the 50,000. I just have an issue with dealing with this in isolation where we haven't even dealt with the policy, that's all. And that's why I didn't support it, quite frankly, at the library committee, because for that exact point, that if we don't approve the budget policy, then what have we just done, you know? That's all. So,
Councillor Trail, I assume your intent is that if there is a cap, you are simply exempting from the cap, and if there isn't a cap, it doesn't matter either way. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Anything further on that? Councillor Hooper.
I'm just further reading and going to the second paragraph, the third paragraph, actually, where it says, so that the library is deemed to be included under the definition of municipal home for the purpose of drafting the annual budget. That still allows us to discuss that, correct? In the budget policy?
Sir, Councillor, the sound is a little bit off. I did not understand a word you said.
I'm sorry, I talked fast.
That's okay.
So this doesn't preclude the fact that if we say so that the library is deemed to be included under the definition of the municipal department for the purpose of drafting the annual budget, we can still do that in regards to, it's not going to impede that at all, correct?
Mr. Penn is waving his hand.
Sorry. Through your worship, in consultation with the library, there was basically two options, and I did provide a memo to council. Option one, sorry, there's multiple options, but there was two that I identified. Option one was to eliminate the cap altogether, which I believe is what Councillor Trail was suggesting. Option two, which is also identified in the letter, was to create a definition of what an external agency and what a municipal department was. And the wording that was in that memo defined a department as being organizational structure reporting to the CAO and the library. And the external agencies would be anybody that's not a department. So there are those two options, both of which are vaguely referenced in this letter. So there may be some more clarification as to which approach council what wishes to go if they wish to do this now. Or they could do both. Could waive the 50,000 and define the library as a department.
Councillor Trail, I think you are just waiving the 50,000, correct?
That's correct. I'm not prepared to move the latter half.
I'm sorry?
That's correct.
Perfect. Okay, you good, Councillor Hooper?
Did you say you're prepared to move the other part too as well?
I said not prepared to move.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. That's fine.
All right. Anything further on that? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. Is anyone else having a hard time with the acoustics? Just me. All right. Fair enough. The next is 9.7. Councillor Trail, this is CLOCA.
Yes, I'd like to move that this be tabled to the next GPNA. That's seconded by Councillor Neal.
So the next GG?
Well, I was hoping to actually refer it back to staff as opposed to tabling it, but I'd like some explanation
Okay, well, I've got a motion on the floor, looking for a seconder if we get a...
I can withdraw the motion.
Can you move a referral, Councillor, through the chair, can you move a referral? Because I, there's, again, I'm not on CLOCA, there's a lot of things I'd like staff to advise on before putting my hand up one way or the other on this, so. Like, there's a lot in this motion that I have no idea what it's talking about, so.
So here, before we get too far, I'll look for some direction from Mr. Allison. Staff are working on this already. It might be worthwhile having it come to GG so that members of the Port Darlington Association have an opportunity to share